I've been looking at some wonderful images from Bangladesh of people engaged in various activities, from farming to religious practice, fascinating faces, extraordinary environments. It's part of the work of Omar Chowdhury, who is an Australian Bangladeshi artist, and he has his first exhibition. It's fascinating, actually. The images are just beautiful. Omar's arts, it's described by himself as audiovisual installations created in spiritual immersions. So the exhibition is called Ways. It opens at 4A Centre for Contemporary Asian Arts in Haymarket this coming Thursday. We've tweeted one of the images from it. But the exhibition involves moving images. So, you know, it's more than just that sort of still one that we've put out. So let's have a chat to Omar, who's very kindly joined us in the studio this morning. Omar, very nice to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Oh, hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
You're Australian Bangladeshi. You went back to Bangladesh to prepare this exhibition. How long did you spend on it?
There are four big works in the show, and all of the works together are probably about 2.5 years, right. Or two years worth of work.
Wow. Yeah. And so what are those four big works?
They total about 7 hours of video, culled from maybe 140, 150 hours of work that we did, sort of immersed in those environments. And they ask a pretty simple but old sort of moral question that I'm very interested in, which is sort of how to live your life in the environment that we have now, which is one replete with a lot of distraction and a lot of desire. And so I've been kind of dealing with that problem, and I went back to Bangladesh to explore that a bit further. Which is where, of course, my parents are from, and I immigrated here when I was 6 years old.
Right. I was going to ask you about your background. Mm. So you've still got very close personal connections in Bangladesh.
It's a little strange, actually. A lot of my family have left for other countries. So I don't have a... When I went there first, it's a very harsh environment. It's one of the harshest environments that I've ever been in. Mm. In my life, and I didn't actually know many people when I went there.
Right.
As you probably know, making moving image works or film works is an intense endeavor.
Yes.
There was a lot of building that needed to be done in terms of a studio to get together a crew, because the equipment doesn't exist there, the sort of technical knowledge doesn't exist there, and you have to bring everything in to have a look at these environments, which are, as you described, just fantastic and nearly anachronistic, you know, archaic, some of it, but under the pressures of immense change, you know, modernity is coming and things are having to move aside to make way for it. And that just results in some very interesting situations.
And really is a moment in time for you to explore how we got to where we are, in a sense. I mean, we are already distracted in that way that you described earlier, but in Bangladesh, it's a country that's only just coming into that sort of level of distraction?
Yeah, it's a different conception of time, or it's a different sort of way of splitting up your time. You know, that's probably the best way to look at it, in the sense that time used to be a very coherent thing in a way. Where you knew what your days were going to be like, but our days are so split up. And I mentioned this thing of desire earlier, and it's split up because we're moving in so many different directions. And that's one of the other reasons, that was one of the reasons for Bangladesh, but you know, I don't want to exoticize it either, and a lot of the work is structured around not exoticizing or showing the sort of complexity that exists there. I mean, everyone has a mobile phone, nearly. Mm. The literacy rates have gone up significantly over the last 15 to 20 years, as has GDP, which has been growing at about 6% there. Mm. So there's an immense amount of modernity that's happening. It's not all archaic, exoticized situation.
Mm.
But that's one aspect. The other is what the subject of the works, in a sense, are, as far as these works have subjects, in a sense, which is sort of spiritual practice. And I used to be a Muslim, and I'm an atheist now since I was 19, but I've always been very interested in the way that religions have answered this question of distraction and desire, and answered the question of how to live your life, and really looking at how much of that is relevant now, how much of that is still useful, So there's maybe two angles. One is sort of cultural, as you talk about, of going to that polar other way of living, as far as you can find it in society these days, because the world is homogenizing, of course. So there's that cultural angle, but there's a spiritual one as well of how to spend your time and how to look at the world around you.
Which is really fascinating coming from your perspective, as you say, formerly a Muslim, now an atheist. So you're not, I mean, although there's a lot of religious, in inverted commas, images in here, images of people at religious practice, it's not about their religion as such. It's about structuring days, about ordering life.
Which is kind of what religion is when you think about it.
That is how religion answers that question, isn't it? By structure.
Yeah, but there was a lot of additional things that religion have in terms of faith and things to believe in. Mm. You know, we've lost a lot of things to believe in modern life. I mean, since the Enlightenment, slowly science has broken up all of the things that we used to believe in and left us with a lot of fractured pieces. And I think one of the great projects of art should be to put a lot of those pieces together, because of course we have to continue on living, and it's very difficult to live with the knowledge that everything is fractured and disconnected in a sense. And so for me, a big influence has been sort of Taoist thinking or Zen thinking, which directs you back to the materialist sort of essence of what's around you right now, the time you're in right now, and yourself. And what you're feeling and thinking. And I think the camera and audio recording equipment is just the perfect medium to experience the world through that, for want of a better word, that nowness, which is what the works are really really structured by.
Mm-hmm. Omar Chowdhury is here. His new exhibition is showing at the 4A Centre for Contemporary Asian Art. It's called Ways. It starts at the end of this week, doesn't it? 30th of May through to the 2nd of August.
The opening's on Thursday, and everyone's invited, I guess. Yeah.
the images are just gorgeous, but as you say, you know, not wanting to, you know, sort of somehow glorify above its standing. I'm just wondering how you got on with filming in mosques, because a lot of these shots are actually inside religious facilities. How did that go?
Yes, it's one of the hardest environments to shoot in. But, you know, things happen on a one-to-one basis between human beings. And so you speak to the imam who leads the mosque, and he looks at you and sees what you're about. And it's pretty hard to hide yourself or what your intentions are, I think, anyway. And especially someone who's as insightful as a religious leader. Yeah. And I think he could see that what I was trying to do wasn't to hurt the mosque or the religion in any way, but to just have a look. And, you know, I've been doing this kind of work for quite a while in terms of situating yourself in a place. And, you know, I work, the basis of it begins with observational sort of cinema, but it gets very complicated with other experimental cinematic techniques and artistic techniques. But we work in a pretty low-key way. Now, having said that, there were major battles for the whole 4 or 5 months from the people who attend the mosque, because mosques are actually very communal environments, as you can see through the films when you watch them. And people can say what they want to say. And so there would be a lot of opposition, especially because this mosque is situated right on the river Buriganga, which is one of the major rivers in Bangladesh, and in a working class sort of neighborhood, in a really industrial neighborhood. And there was a lot of aggression that you just have to, we just had to get through for about 4 or 5 months.
Right.
You'd have good weeks and you'd have bad weeks. And the thing was to just stick at it. But, you know, I think that kind of comes through in the works. That particular work with the mosque is part of, is reflected by another work called Locus One, which was set at a Hindu temple, an ISKCON temple.
Yeah.
And that work is nearly 2.5 hours of, you know, imagery and rhythm. And you can feel the openness there because we were far more welcome. Whereas I think in this work there's a claustrophobia and a closeness because partly of how I felt and how my crew felt at that time. And that's a very important part of the work, to try to reflect back the feeling of actually sort of being there, whether that's a good feeling or an open feeling or a closed and claustrophobic one.
Yeah, I mean, there's some lovely images in beyond the mosque images as well, the vision in the field, you know,
yeah,
ploughing. Yeah. And just automatically, I'm just looking at stills here, but suddenly took a deep breath.
Yeah, that's out near a tea garden, actually, where my mum's family are originally from. You know, when people had jobs for 50 years, my grandfather worked there for 50 years, and one of my earliest memory is from that garden. I decided to work there for 6 months out near the jungle, looking at this man's life. It's a and that work is called Vastness and Eclipse, and it's the first work in the show. Yeah.
Fabulous stuff. Now, I've got to ask you this, speaking of dealing with modernity, you're not even a social media fanatic, and yet you're so young. What's going on?
Wow, you guys are fast with your research.
We try to find people.
There's a very long answer to that around research into willpower and research into distraction. But I just find that stuff very addictive, and I know you've got things out on Twitter, and I do see the uses for it. I think I should also mention that I did my first degree in computer science at the University of New South Wales. So,
and, a bundle of contradictions,
yeah,
here, and, seemingly. But
well,
I mean,
I kind of wonder if that's what an artist is supposed to do, is create a set of, to present a set of contradictions to the world through their own person, in a sense. But I worked in software for about 6-7 years, building... actually kind of social software, but for very for business.
Right.
That sounds very uncool, but it was a cool piece of software by an Australian company called Atlassian. But
okay.
Yeah, but no, I am on Facebook, but I have a very complex relationship to it.
I'm not surprised given the nature of the issues that you're exploring with your work.
Yeah, I guess the thing to say there is you know, the work for me isn't something separate. It really is procedural, you know. It's about me and how I spend my time and what being an artist or being a filmmaker does to my day and does to my years and perhaps does to my life. And so it is very much about you know, it's so funny. The crew and I sort of meditate for 70, 80 minutes a day every day, because it's and it really has helped us the last 4 or 5 months. And we've been picking up these little things from these spiritual places. And I hope people who come to the show this Thursday, or the show runs for 2 months actually, so see some of that, because although the works are, you know, we use sort of expensive cameras and they look good, et cetera. I shoot all of my own work, but although there's all this stuff about the aesthetics, I kind of do believe that an artist also partakes in philosophy, you know. So the works sort of really try to give you an overall view, both in body and mind, I think.
Well, it's lovely. I was totally captivated by the images that I've seen. So
thank you.
I hope people can get along and enjoy it. It's been lovely to have a chat with you this morning. Thank you for coming in, Omar.
Thanks so much, Linda.
And best of luck with the exhibition.
Thank you.
Cheers.